One of the things that Brother Shamsuddin didn't mention was that song, because the organ was broken, had to be played, or at least it was written for the guitar. So that's why you want to make sure to play it that way, just like they did back when they first originally wrote the song. Let me ask you a question, though. Why is this psalm speaking of silent or calmness? I mean, what kind of silence are we talking about here? If you think about silence, has there ever been a time in your life when you felt like you needed some silence? You may feel that way right now. You know, when life becomes overwhelming, there is something instinctual about us that we want silence. We just want it that way. Sometimes mothers who are busy with working and having children, rearing children and keeping a household, sometimes they'll just say, I just want some quiet time. My mom, I didn't know this, I guess she probably needed some quiet time too, because one of her favorite games was the quiet game. You guys know what I'm talking about, the quiet game? You know, you get a prize for seeing who could be the quietest. And I thought, well, what happens if you lose? You don't want to ask, okay? I remember when I was in college, my freshman year, I went to a school, and the school that I went to, it was just kind of booming. And so when they put us into the dorm room, I had four other roommates, who were five in one dorm room. You talk about overcrowding, it was overcrowding. And there was never a time in that dorm room when it was silent. It seemed like we're all always somebody talking or doing something. We're so busy. And I just wanted some silence. I needed a place where I could go and get away from the noise of all this activity to study and spend some time with the Lord and pray. And if you've been to Bible college or been to any kind of college for that matter, prayer becomes your greatest weapon to get through college. And sometimes it's difficult to find places like that. You know, in Galilean hills, back in the first century, you would have been impressed with the quietness at night on those days. Now, today it would be much different, but it was in those days. It was extremely quiet. And of course, Bethlehem was a population, we learned last week, of about 1,000 residents. And so it would have been very quiet. And when you hear the psalm Silent Night, it reminds us of that quiet, quiet time late in the middle of the night in Bethlehem, when you would not hear the noise of anybody. All you would see and hear and feel would be that quiet time and the shepherds taking care of their flocks. You take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Let's read the story and find out what happens. And the background to this is found in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse number 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those signs which were told them by the shepherds. You see, what we had was, in the first century, shepherds were caring for their sheep at night. And in that solitude or that quiet moment for the shepherds, it was interrupted by the sound of the angels. They came. The announcement came that there was a child that was born, a Savior, Jesus. Now, for them, all of a sudden, that that quiet moment, and then the interruption got their attention, obviously, the bright light, all the other things. When they had heard that message, they decided that they would make their way to the manger. They had to see the sight. And the Bible records for us that they came to that place where Jesus was. And there they were moved by the sight of the incarnated God as a babe in that manger. You know, the older you get, the more you are attracted to silence and solitude. I think calmness and silence gives room for God to speak to us. I mean, sometimes God even has this way of slowing you down. It may be an illness. It could be a setback. It could be a trial that you're dealing with. I remember it was a Saturday night for me when I started feeling really sick, and I felt horrible. Now, as a pastor, that's not a good time. I mean, it's never a good time to have that, but on Saturday night, it's not a good time. And I got real sick, and by the next morning, I couldn't move. And every time I did move, it was hurting me. I could not go in to preach. I could not go into church that day. I couldn't get out of bed. Monday morning, Janet called the doctor, and they said, bring him in right away. And so I'll never forget that, you know, we got to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, yes, what is called walking pneumonia. How many of you know what walking pneumonia is? How many of you are like me, you're confused why they call it walking pneumonia? Because for me, I couldn't even imagine. It was hard enough to walk from the bed to the car to go to the doctor. But I had what's called walking pneumonia. And what that meant was the illness was going to be about 2 weeks with medication, and I couldn't do anything. It was in that time, in that stillness, that I believe that God slowed me down and silenced my activities so that I could listen to Him. There were some things that God wanted to tell me. There were some things that God was working in my life. And one thing I did learn was this. I learned a lot about praying and how that as I prayed, I was praying knowing that God would take care of the things going around me, but that God would raise me up off of this bed. You know, silence is a healthy thing. It's healthy for you and for me. According to the Huffington Post, March 5th of this year, they published an article entitled this, Why Silence is Good for Your Brain. They gave four reasons why I said that silence is good for your brain. Number one, silence relieves stress and tension. How many of you are having stress or tension? A few of you do? Okay, not many. That's good. Number two, it replenishes our mental resources. Number three, silence activates our brain's deeper creative thinking. And number four, this one is the one that got me, it regenerates brain cells. Who doesn't need some new brain cells, you know? And what it is silence is healthy for us. Now, certainly God knew this, because God in the Bible speaks of silence. We find it all throughout the scriptures. We see the calmness of the shepherds at the manger as they come before the Messiah. They bow down. And the Bible says that when they were there, they were bowed down before. And then, obviously, they had left. And when they left, they were singing praises unto God. But there are other passages that reflect this same thought. For example, we go to the Old Testament and we find a prophet by the name of Elijah. Now, Elijah was a man who had a great victory in his life. Big things were happening. But then, after that great victory, he got discouraged. Isn't that the way it is in life? Sometimes you see great things and wonderful victories, and it seems like there's great blessings, and then after that, it's easy to get discouraged. And Elijah was discouraged, and he was waiting on God to do something, or for God to speak in such a way that God would do something for him. He wanted something to happen. And God did. But I want you to notice what the verse says. It's 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Did you notice it wasn't until Elijah listened that he heard the voice of God? And when God spoke, he spoke in the Bible says, a still, quiet voice. You see, God is about us being still. Just then, when Elijah silenced his heart before God, it was when God could address the needs of Elijah. Have you ever been in a place of total silence? I mean, it's been called deafening silence. Somewhat frightening. I read how Microsoft has developed a chamber where they test media-related devices and information. Microsoft's chamber is almost as silent as simply the sounds of air particles moving, the article says. From Business Insider, it says, we're at the edge of the limits of physics. This research room is designed to test the Surface Pro, that computer, and also the Xbox consoles. According to the reports, it is so quiet that staying longer than 45 minutes will cause hallucinations. When it's so quiet, the article goes on to say, ears will adapt. Pay close attention to that thought. The quieter the room, the more things you will hear. You will hear your heart beating. Sometimes you can hear your lungs or hear your stomach gurgling. Sometimes you hear that even when you're not listening. How you orient yourself is through the sounds you hear when you walk. In the anechoic chamber, you don't have any cues. You take away the perceptual cues that allow you to balance and maneuver. You see, God has designed all of us that we need silence for Him to speak to our hearts. And I think sometimes in our busy moments of life and all the things that are going on around us, that we have this tendency to never push back, find that solitude to allow God to begin to work in our life and speak to our hearts. Silent Night reminds us of this silence, this internal quietness, this calmness that comes from being with God and in the presence of God. I mean, when you come before Him in prayer, you find that it is there when you realize that really God is in control. You're not. When you realize that how powerful and big God is, it's at that point that we recognize He who we read about and believe in the Scriptures to be our Savior and our Lord. It's in the quietest of prayer that God speaks to your heart and mind. So what are these lessons about? What are we learning? What are we drawing from this passage? Well, there's some lessons that God wants to teach us in silence. And let me give them to you. Number one, how big God is. That's the first lesson we learned, that God is really big. I mean, sometimes I think we almost want to say, you know, God, you know, I kind of will plug you in when I need you, but God is bigger than that. I mean, how big is God? Well, God tells us, I love this Psalm, Psalm 46 in verse number 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. What does God mean by that? He said, in the stillness of the moment, in the stillness of a time in your life, when you push aside from all the activities and come before me in prayer and bow down before me, it's at that point you realize that I'm God. You realize how big God is. You know, sometimes we want to use noise to intimidate people. Sometimes we want to use screaming or yelling to get people to listen. But God doesn't need to yell or scream. God doesn't have to have a lot of noise to get our attention. Because the sheer person of who He is and how large He is demands that we understand that God is bigger than we are. How many of you have ever been to the Kennedy Space Center? Anyone ever been to the Kennedy Space Center? No one? Really? One time I went to the Kennedy Space Center in Florida at Cape Canaveral. I didn't forget going there, and when we made the little tour, they took us past one of the rocket ships. And when you get in that room where that rocket ship is, and you look at the size of that rocket ship, all you could do is just stand there in silence. It was so big. It was like, wow. And I kind of think that's how it is when we get in the presence of God in our prayer time and in our silence. We realize how big God is. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I think the noise and the activities of where we are in our world drowns out the size of God for us. And when we see how big God is in that present moment, that's why God says, be still and know that I am God. The second lesson that we learn is we must listen for God to speak. You ever thought about that? You have to listen. Did you notice the article said that when you get into an environment in that room, that your ears adapt to the sound? We understand that visibly. Because visually, whenever our eyes get into a different environment, the pupil in our eyes dilate or change according to that light. But it's also true with our ears. It adapts to the environment. And what God, I believe, is saying to every one of us here is we learn through the prophet Elijah that we are adapting to the sound level of God when we silence ourselves before Him. And what God is saying to us is that God is saying that when you do, that it's at that point is when I can begin to work in your heart and life. You see, we read the story about how these men, as they bowed before God, they're in that manger, and then they got up, and in verse 20, the Bible said, they returned and glorified God, and they were praising God. Now the activity begins. But it was the activity of praising and honoring God. You see, it's in that quiet moments we realize the working of God, the inner working of God in our life. Paul writes and says it this way. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I mean, that quiet time in our heart when we read our Bible and God, the Holy Spirit, is working and speaking to us and convicting us and showing us our need. In that moment, we realize it's the Holy Spirit of God working inside of us. That's what Paul writes about. The third lesson we learn is in God's presence, He calms us. I mean, when you come into God's presence, you realize that in God's presence, His power, and you realize your weakness, and you realize how there's comfort in knowing God, that everything's going to be all right. You know, many children go through phases where they're afraid of the dark. I mean, they're scared to death of the dark. How many of you found yourself going through that phase somewhere in your past? You remember that? Going through that as a kid? Be honest now. How many of you are still going through it? All right. But I remember as a kid, I used to have this fear. And at night when I would go into my bedroom and the darkness would come into the room, I was scared to death. It took a long time to get over that. But I remember that in that dark room, that what would happen is that the trees would be blowing and the moon would shine through the trees, and the shadow of the trees would look like ghosts dancing across the floor of my bedroom. And I was scared until my dad came into the room. I didn't have any fears anymore. Hey, how's it going, Dad? No more fears. Because now it was all going to be okay. Because Dad was there. Can I tell you something? That's how it is with God. When you go to God in your quiet moments, when you go to God in prayer, when you go to God when you have your deepest fears or your stresses or your struggles, in that quiet moment of your life, somehow or another, being in His presence, all those things become insignificant when you dwell with God. It's all right. He'll take care of you. But then there's one more lesson I want to give you, is God wants us to focus on Him. I mean, in silence, the focus is on Him. I mean, that day when they went to the manger and those shepherds walked in, They weren't focused on the animals around them like we see in those manger scenes that we put out. They weren't focused on all the other things going around. They focused on one thing. And that was that baby. It was there. No one would dare speak in His presence. This was holiness. This was righteousness. This was godliness. I mean, when they were done seeing Him and being in His presence and recognizing Him for who He was, they were changed. These shepherds were changed in such a way that no matter what their condition was, socially, physically, monetarily, when they left God's presence, they were changed. It didn't matter at that point. You know, for you, some of you today might be not looking forward to Christmas. Say, another Christmas. Or maybe you're not looking forward to another new year. Or another event. That may be where you are. And so you're dealing with it, you're trying to figure out how do I calm this anxiety in my life, and how do I deal with this struggle that I'm dealing with? How do I get through all of that? I'm going to tell you what you need is some quiet time in God's presence. You need some silence. Just a silent time where you can bow before God. Just a time when you can pray and seek His face, when you can go to Him, when He can, in your life and in my life, can show you how big He really is. But you got to listen. Adapt your ears to hear Him speak. Tom Landry, 30-year coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, he was an amazing man. He had led this team to 20 winning seasons, 2 Super Bowls. He was installed in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the 90s. He was a very distinguished looking man. I mean, this was his normal look. Coat and tie, his trademark fedora that he always wore. And when you see him on the sideline, even during the most intense of the battle, he always looked the same. Same stoic look. It didn't matter how much pressure he was under, he just looked like that. That was him. And one day he was interviewed, a reporter, and he was being very transparent. They were asking questions, and they asked him this question. They said, how could you look so calm on the outside when you're walking up and down the sideline during those times of the biggest competition? Here's what he said. He said, I may look calm on the outside, but I'm anything but calm on the inside. And you know, I think Christians are a lot like Tom Landry. They look calm on the outside, but they are anything but calm on the inside. Their struggles, their fears. There are things that you are dealing with that probably none of us will ever even begin to understand. But there is a God that does. There is a God that hears and wants you to hear Him. He's trying to speak to you. And by the way, God is always there with you. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you're a Christian today, He says, He promises you His presence with you every day. But you have to stop and adapt your ears and be aware of His presence in your life. You have to tune into His voice so that He can speak to you and bring calmness to your life. Here's what I want to challenge you with today. I want to challenge you with one thing. Will you decide to make some margin or quiet time in your life with God? Will you decide today, right now? Will you say, you know, as I begin this new year, I'm gonna draw out some time in my life where whether it's in a morning or in the afternoon, whatever it is, where I'm gonna make margin for God. I'm going to make it quiet so that I can hear what God wants to say to my heart. And as I open His Word, He begins to speak to me, that I can listen and hear Him. It's in that time of silence that God becomes very real to us, and the awareness of what He wants to do in our life. Will you focus on your relationship with Jesus Christ this next year? And then second, to those of you who are not yet Christians, would you let God fill that emptiness inside with His fullness by calling upon Him as Savior? You see, Jesus Christ came, and by the way, the manger is just the beginning of that plan that we see and understand, because it was culminated on the cross when Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again the third day. That's why He came. That's what it was about. And by believing in Jesus Christ as Savior, He can make all the difference in the world in your life and in my life. He will fill that emptiness inside. Will you let Him be your Savior today? Shall we pray? While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just believe that God is speaking to some of our hearts. But here's what I also believe, that sometimes we're not listening. We've kind of blocked out the voice of God with the noise of everything around us. Not all those things are bad, but they can be bad if they're placed before God. Our heads are bowed.